From the heart of our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., bringing compelling interviews, insightful analysis, taking you beyond the headlines and sound bites into conversations with our nation's leaders and newsmakers, all from a biblical worldview. Sitting in for Tony is today's host, Jody Heiss.
Well, good afternoon. Hope you're having a great day. Welcome to this Thursday edition of Washington Watch. I am your host, Jody Heiss, Senior Vice President here at the Family Research Council and President of FRC Action. An honor to have you joining us today, and we've got a lot to cover. Here's some of the highlights. Democrats speaking in Chicago this week want voters to believe that the Biden-Harris administration did not create a border crisis and that the border czar, Kamala Harris, will enact tough border security in her new administration if she happens to be elected president.
Kamala Harris is not weak. For 20 years, Kamala Harris has been tough as nails when it comes to securing our border.
Tough as nails. Well, that was Democrat Senator Chris Murphy yesterday claiming that Harris and not Trump has been tough on the border. Well, this all comes as a shocking new report from the Department of Homeland Security reveals that the Biden-Harris administration has lost track of more than 300,000 children who crossed the border without their parents. Tennessee Congressman Tim Burchett will join me in just a few moments to discuss that. And while Democrats claim that the border security is certainly a concern, it's become increasingly apparent that their top priority remains abortion.
If you do not have autonomy over this, if you cannot control when and how you choose to bring your children into this world and how they are raised and supported, there is no American dream.
Wow, so that was Oprah last night summing up her comments. No abortion on demand means no American dream. Unbelievable. Political commentator Kyle Campbell, host of Politically Basic podcast, will join me to talk about that and how out of touch the Democratic Party is with younger generations. And a recent expose revealing how woke ideology has infected the motorcycle company Harley-Davidson has the beloved brand pumping the brakes on much of their nonsense as it relates to woke ideology. And conservative filmmaker Robbie Starbuck, who has been successful in getting companies like Harley-Davidson to reverse course on DEI projects, says, will be joining me a little bit later on the program to talk about that. And then there's new research that reveals that evangelicals may no longer be having a powerful influence on our culture that they have had in the past. Wow. How has this contributed to our culture's continued and rapid decline? That's a powerful question. I'll be talking about that with George Barna, senior fellow research at FRC's Center for Biblical Worldview. So we have a lot coming your way, as always. Our website, TonyPerkins.com. I want to encourage you to go there. If you missed this program or if you want other archived or just want some information, a great website there for you. And this election year, I want to again invite you to attend on October 3rd through the 6th in Washington, D.C., our Pray, Vote, Stand Summit. This will be one of the most powerful, impactful summit gatherings that you ever attend. It'll be a national gathering of spiritually active, governance-engaged conservatives, sage cons, as we call them. We'll be dealing with things like the recognition that we must have spiritual renewal in this country. Registration is open right now, and I'm asking you to come join us in our nation's capital for this powerful event. You can check out more details and register right now by going to PrayVoteStand.org, PrayVoteStand.org. All right, let's jump into the details of today's program. While Democrats give speeches in Chicago this week gaslighting the public that border czar Kamala Harris is actually committed to border security, A shocking new report from the Homeland Security Inspector General reveals that the Biden-Harris administration has lost track of more than 320,000 migrant children who crossed the border without parents. Folks, these children, they were released to sponsors here in the U.S., and now they're at risk for sex trafficking, forced labor, and who knows what other forms of exploitation. So when the Democrats talk about joy at their convention, this is the reality that they want you to ignore. This is the reality they don't want you to know about. And joining me now to discuss this and more is Congressman Tim Burchett. He serves on a number of committees, including the Foreign Affairs Committee and the Powerful Oversight Committee. He represents Tennessee's 2nd Congressional District. Congressman Burchett, always great to see you, my friend. Welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me back on, brother, and it is a pleasure.
Well, listen, let's start with this shocking new report, possibly 300,000-plus illegal immigrant children are missing. What does this tell us about the Biden-Harris administration and the border crisis that, again, I'll underscore, they created?
Absolutely. It shows that they're a complete failure. And I was listening to NPR by accident on the way in today. I'm coming back here to my home office, and I saw they were on the attack on Trump on the border. So I guess word's gone on high. You know, there's a book called The Art of War by Sun Tzu, and he says something, know thy enemy, know thyself. And, you know, our enemy right now is telling us that we created this problem, when in the reality we know we didn't. And the legacy media is just barking out the talking points, ringing the bell, so to speak, like Pavlov's dog, and we come salivating, because there could be nothing further from the truth. Kamala Harris was in charge of the border. Then all of a sudden they decided to put out that she wasn't. If you saw when that happened, that was during a committee, appropriations committee, that the chairman put that out. And then all of a sudden all the press, all the Democrats had their talking points. Folks, this is the deep state. It's not a swamp, it's a sewer. This is what's going on in our country. They're trying to recreate history. And then you've got a group of Americans that are actually believing this garbage, and they want nothing more than to destroy this country, and they're on their way to doing it.
Yeah, it's stunning, and the ability to twist and dodge and change the narrative is just amazing. In fact, I mean, going on right now at the Democrats' convention, they're literally attempting to craft a narrative that Harris is tough on the border, and that Donald Trump, Speaker Johnson, Republicans stopped a bipartisan border security deal that would have closed the border, they said. Are they hoping somehow, Congressman, that the American public really don't know what H.R. 2 was all about?
Well, currently America does not know, because no one's telling them, and you're exactly right. It allowed up to 5,000 people a day over the border before it enacted some sort of border wall, which I guess would just appear out of nowhere. So 4,999 people coming over our border illegal, murderers, rapists, everything you can imagine, every criminal, every mentally ill person in Central America coming right over our border. Up to that point, at 4,999, and they were okay. So that's what this bill did. It codified those folks coming into our country so they would be here more or less legally. It was a bogus piece of legislation. As you know well, and they blame it on Trump. Heck, they should have blamed it on me, because I came out 2 weeks prior to Trump even saying anything about it. I said, this is awful. This thing is terrible. This is not what we need. This is not a start. This is putting into law 4,999 people a day coming over our dadgum border. The media lies, but we've got to start playing hardball, Jody. We've got to quit this wringing of hands and circling up and saying, oh, let's negotiate. There is no negotiation. This presidential election, this Senate election, this congressional election is for the future of this country, bar none. We are standing at the abyss. We are staring over into this deep, dark abyss, and we have a chance to step back from it by electing Trump, or we can go forward and not do anything and let Kamala Harris continue ruining this country. Because I guarantee the gloves will come off. If they get the House, the Senate, and the White House, it's over. Everything we fought for the last over 200 years is over.
Yeah, it's frightening. People have to pray, they have to vote, they have to stand. And now is the time for that line to be drawn in the sand. You know, on another issue, I know the military is important to you, your family, your dad, your parents, and it's just in you. But the Democrats, as they rolled out Vice President candidate Tim Walz, I mean, he's got all sorts of problems, not the least of which is the ability to tell the truth. And that has been underscored as in reference to his military record. Your thoughts on Walz?
Well, I think he's created, and it doesn't matter what the truth is anymore. If there was something more to his record, if the Republicans were lying, you would have every editorial chief in the country. They've already gotten their words from on high from the Democrat leadership. Every TV station would have jumped in to defend him. You've noticed they've kind of brushed over that and gone away with that because they don't care, because they know. I mean, this is the party that elected Bill Clinton, for goodness sakes, a legitimate draft dodger against George Bush Sr. Granted, he was a moderate by my standards, but he was a heck of a lot better than Bill Clinton was. And that's the man we elected over. And that is what the press sold us. And they will sell us everything. Young people don't understand that the fight that went on, these rifles behind me, they were taking off people that my father killed in the Second World War in the Pacific. This is, you know, this is the world we live in. This is the reality of our military. It's not somebody sitting behind a desk. It's men and women that have to go in horrible places and do horrible things to bad people. And when they candy coat this stuff and they push these people out and they allowed to lie about their history, it spits in the face of people like my father. It spits in the face of my uncle, whose 48-star flag is in my office in Knoxville that was draped over his casket. And you know, it just infuriates me. But that's the world we live in.
As well it should. And yet I watch and see all this. And in spite of there being, so many multiple people sending letters and talking about this, still, last night the Democrats roll out this continued claim that Walz was a command sergeant major in the National Guard. I mean, they just continue to roll this out. What does all this tell us? We've got about a minute left.
It tells us that their narrative works because they continue to lie and they don't change it. And they know it's working because Americans are gullible. We don't stand up for the conservative folks just get rolled over. We have preachers that are afraid to preach the gospel. We have men and women going to school board meetings, protesting that their children are being taught pornography and labeled domestic terrorists. We have people standing up for the sanctity of life, which the Democrat Party does not stand up for, that are labeled as domestic terrorists because they pursue their First Amendment rights. Do not kid yourself. Get off your butt. And if your preacher doesn't preach the gospel and tell it like it is out of the Bible, you need to get another preacher, because at the base of it, that's where we're losing our foundation, Jody, and we're losing our guts, and we've got to take this country back. No question about it. We are losing it. And we've got, you know, up to this point, they're going to take us without a shot. And there about a month ago, they took their shot.
Got to go. Congressman Tim Burchett, always an honor to have you. Thank you for being on the tip of the spear in so many ways. All right, friends, stay tuned for more Washington Watch after the break. A recent expose has Harley-Davidson hitting the brakes on their woke agenda. We'll discuss it right after this break. Stay tuned.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
Research has found that there are 59 million American adults who are a lot like you. There are millions of people around the country who are born again, deeply committed to practicing their faith, and believe the Bible is the reliable Word of God. But that's not all. They're also engaged in our government. They're voters. They're more likely to be involved in their community, and they're making a difference in elections. The problem is that a lot of them feel alone, too. We want to change that. FRC wants to connect these 59 million Americans to speak the truth together, no matter the cost. If you want to learn more about this group and what it means to be a spiritually active, governance-engaged conservative, or if you want to find out if you are one of these sage cons yourself, join us. Go to frc.org/sagecon, sagecon, to learn more. That's sagecon, sagecon, to learn more.
Hi, I'm Georgina, an intern here at Family Research Council, and I wanted to take a moment to tell you about FRC's incredible internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and a development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. This program features hands-on professional experience here in Washington, D.C., weekly biblical worldview training, tours around the district, opportunities to meet some of the country's most prominent policy experts, and more. The program also includes free housing, a meal stipend, and is available in spring, summer, and fall. If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, as a current intern, I cannot recommend this program enough. For more information or to apply, please go to frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships. Apply today.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Jody Heiss. Glad to have you joining us today. You know, after so many fed-up conservatives literally turned Bud Light into a national punchline last year, you would think that corporate CEOs would learn a lesson and retreat from all these woke marketing policies and internal policies and so forth. But as filmmaker Robbie Starbuck has revealed, even all-American brands like Tractor Supply Company, like John Deere, these corporations have been infected by DEI policies, by leftist campaign donations, by climate issues, by trans activism, and a host of other things. But we are seeing a reverse course, at least among some, in recent times. And one of those is the motorcycle manufacturer Harley-Davidson, which was one of the latest brands that Starbuck had his sights set on. And joining me now to discuss what he found at Harley-Davidson is filmmaker and host of the Robbie Starbuck Show, Robbie Starbuck himself. Thank you so much for joining us on the program. Great to have you.
Thanks, Jody. I appreciate it. This has been an incredible past few months taking down these companies. And I don't know if you saw before we came on the show today, I announced that Jack Daniels actually was supposed to be our next target after Harley-Davidson. And they preempted our video coming out because they knew that we had been looking into the company. And they put out an email, a statement to employees dropping all their DEI and woke policies as well before our video came out, which I think was incredibly smart on their part to go ahead and change those policies before their brand was destroyed over a period of a month of people getting to understand the types of values they had adopted.
Amazing. Well, I'm not a huge fan of Jack Daniels, but I do want to get to that. Let's get to that here in just a few moments. Let's start, though, with Harley-Davidson. They obviously likewise have hit the brakes on what they were doing. Tell us what you found when you literally pulled back the curtain on Harley.
Well, in every one of these companies, you find some commonalities that are just absolutely absurd. One of them is they seem like they've accepted becoming subservient to a group called the HRC. I'm not even going to say what that stands for because it's ludicrous to call themselves campaigners against, you know, to fix human rights abuses, because that is the exact opposite in my mind of what they do. But the HRC created something called CEI scores. It's a corporate equality index. And companies have essentially been beholden to the idea that they need to score 100% on the CEI scores, or they're in trouble, right? Okay, so it's turned into this ludicrous thing in corporate America. And 100% score on the CEI score means that you are funding sex changes for not only adults, but you're also funding transition, you know, medicines and procedures for children, okay, in some cases. So, you know, I think everybody understands the names of these companies that we're talking about. These are companies that depend on the conservative consumer. There is no excuse for them fraternizing with a group like the HRC, who fundamentally and openly hate Republicans. So that on just a very simple level, people understand. But beyond that, when you get into the corporate dynamics, they've got essentially clubs. They're called ERG groups. And ERG groups are focused essentially along identity politics. So you've got groups within the business, and their club is entirely about the type of sex they like, okay? That is just bizarre. You know, I don't know about you, but when I was working, you know, before I became an entrepreneur myself and ran my own businesses, when I was working, talking about sex at work was sexual harassment, and you were not supposed to do it. Now they've got clubs at these companies to essentially rally around the type of sex certain people like. So I think that, you know, people need to know where their money's going, in essence. And with Harley, you know, we found them funding a pride event where there was, you know, a drag queen section where children could interact with them. And then they had something adjacent to that called a rage room for people to let out their rage. And then adjacent to that was play catch with a dad for the people who had daddy issues at that pride event. This is all absurd stuff. I mean, you go down the line, they were recommending books like White Fragility to their employees at Harley-Davidson. White Fragility is a book, is written by somebody named Robin DiAngelo, who's a far-left activist. And what underpins the thesis of her book is essentially white people are blamed for everything, and America is just laden with white supremacy, and that essentially we're just a racist country. And for a corporation, a major corporation that depends on the conservative consumer, to push this garbage on their employees and to use money that their hardworking consumers bring to that company in good faith, thinking they're supporting a great American company, and to turn around and use it to fund these woke causes is just absurd. And we can't have it anymore. And so, you know, I've gotten a lot of credit from people for doing this. But to be honest, the credit goes to I have a very large following, and the people have risen up. I've just given the information. I'm a megaphone, and they have taken it and run with it and held these companies responsible.
All right, we've only got a couple of minutes left, so let me, and I do want to get to the Jack Daniels that you brought up, but all right, so you expose this at a company like John Deere, Tractor Supply, whatever. What happens next?
Well, we do it over a long period of time because the natural PR response to a story like this say, oh, let's wait for it to blow over. So we make sure it can't blow over. This is going to be a story for weeks, if not months, to make it very difficult for the company to ignore it. And the public sentiment is going to continue to go negative against them as a byproduct of people learning what's going on. So as part of that goes on, we also have an easy way for people to contact these companies. It's a one-click option through something called Citizen Caller. They're able to click to call or send an email to let the company know how they feel about them adopting these woke policies. This has been extremely effective. And then the companies turn around inevitably and always post a statement as they cancel their DEI and woke policies.
Amazing. All right, real quickly, you started with this. Jack Daniels obviously caught wind that you had them in their sights. What happened?
Yeah, we think they know they caught on because we intentionally look at the LinkedIn pages of all of the executives and, you know, specific employees in HR and PR. And we do that to kind of let them know. It's kind of like a warning shot, like we are looking at you. And we think that that's probably why they had the meeting and decided to do this, because obviously they've seen the string of the companies making these announcements, and their email was designed almost exactly like the Harley statement, the Tractor Supply statement, you know, with bullet points of we're changing this, we're changing this. And it includes all the things that we want from these companies. They're no longer engaging with the HRC CEI score. They're cutting the woke trainings. No more donations to events that don't have anything to do with the core business and core product. You know, it's all about bringing a neutral environment back to the workplace and making work work again. Imagine that. So it doesn't matter who you vote for and stuff, like work should just be a place where you do work, not a place where you argue about politics and social issues.
Absolutely. Robbie Starbuck, host of the Robbie Starbuck Show. Awesome work. Incredible. Thank you so much for all you're doing, and thank you for sharing it here on Washington Watch with us.
Thank you, Jody. Appreciate it.
All right, folks, much more on the priorities that the Democrats have at the DNC. We're going to continue unfolding it, so stay tuned. We'll be back right after the break.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Jody Heiss. Thank you for joining us. Listen, by just a way of reminder, Vanessa Sivage, she was a former intern here at FRC, and the Texas Children's Hospital nurse who has just been fired last week because she exposed some illegal gender transition procedures that were taking place there on minors. If you would like to sign a petition to have her reinstated there at the hospital, you can help us by texting the word nurse to 67742. That's nurse to 67742. All right. A consistent theme at the Democrat National Convention this week, as we have been highlighting, is the complete and radical commitment the Democrats have to celebrating abortion. I mean, all you have to do is just look outside the building. Planned Parenthood's mobile abortion facility is there ready to kill babies just outside the convention center, and they're doing so. And then there's all the speeches that have taken place from the former president of Planned Parenthood to Oprah Winfrey. In fact, let's look at this clip.
If you do not have autonomy over this, if you cannot control when and how you choose to bring your children into this world and how they are raised and supported, there is no American dream.
No American dream without absolute abortion all 9 months. Look, does this and other remarks like this that are coming out of the convention reveal just how out of touch the Democratic Party is with most Americans, particularly with the younger generation? Well, joining me now to discuss this and more is political commentator Kyle Campbell. She's the host of the podcast Politically Basic. Kyle, welcome back to Washington Watch. Always great to have you. Thank you.
Hey, Jody, great to be with you today, and so much to talk about, so I'm really grateful to be on with you.
Well, let's just jump right in. What does it say when abortion is what the Harris-Walz campaign is running on as much as any other priority, and there are so many other things to discuss, but abortion is the issue to them?
Well, out of touch is right, and it's sad to see this, that abortion is really the only issue they feel like they can focus on right now. It's a distraction, but we can't be complacent in thinking that that's all they've got. You know, there's, it's an easy thing for them right now, for the Harris Walls campaign, to get us upset over the thought of a Trump-Vance administration putting a federal ban on abortion, which isn't true, right? And so they've kind of worked everybody up over this issue, made everyone terrified that somehow there's some freedom at risk or some right at risk that they're going to lose, when that really isn't the case. And hearing from Oprah Winfrey, it was fascinating to me that she used the word control, right? Because that's what the left is salivating over, is control over every aspect of Americans' lives: healthcare, economic, taxes, education, raising your children. And abortion is a way to do that too. So it's so disappointing to watch a DNC, see this convention happen, want to hear some policies. You know, we want the best for our country as a whole. So we're dying to hear some decent policy. We're not getting any. And what we're getting is all of this fear mongering over things that aren't true. So it's really out of touch. It's not resonating with these younger generations at all either.
Well, let's talk about that, because it wasn't just Oprah Winfrey. Cecile Richards, former president of Planned Parenthood, she was there. I mean, they continue pressing this mantra down the throats of all of us. But your focus is on millennials, on Gen Z. Did the Democratic Party reveal this week, and if so, in what ways? You just referenced it, but how out of touch are they with the younger generation?
I was honestly shocked, Jody, I have to tell you. I mean, this is like how to run a presidential campaign into the ground in 10 steps, particularly with the younger generation. So it really goes back to that old adage of when people show you who they are, believe them. And they really showed us, particularly last night. You know, they're trotting out the Clintons, the Bidens, Nancy Pelosi, and these people who are not young. They've been in politics for a million years. They're worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And then you bring Oprah out, who talks about, you know, experiencing income equality. She's a billionaire. And you have younger generations, many of whom will vote for the first time this election. And they're facing a future that is extremely uncertain and really bleak in a lot of ways. We've got mental health issues coming from the stresses and concerns that they're dealing with. You know, the marriage and birth rates are down. They can't afford rent. They can't even wrap their brains around a possibility of owning a home or starting a family or having a future. And here comes the DNC saying, like, you know, you should be focusing on the loss of freedoms. Nobody's losing freedoms right now, and almost acting like Trump has been in office currently when their side has been in office. It's just completely missing the mark for younger generations. They want to hear solutions to all of this mountain and tidal wave of problems that they are facing, and they didn't hit on a single one. So I think they're more disengaged and feeling disconnected from the Democrat Party than ever.
Well, I don't know of anyone who keeps a better pulse on all of this than you. And to have your description of what's happening and how the younger generation is responding is extremely valuable. Kyle, I want to thank you for joining us on Washington Watch. Thanks for continuing to have a powerful voice out there. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Jody. Always good to be with you.
Likewise. All right, friends, after the break, we've got much more to cover, and you don't want to miss what's coming your way. We've got the latest research from George Barna on the influence of Christians. You don't want to miss it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm your host, Jody Heiss. All right, just a reminder, the Pray, Vote, Stand Summit is going to be taking place October 3rd through the 6th in Washington, D.C. We would love for you to join us, and I guarantee you, you will be glad for doing so. I encourage you to check out PrayVoteStand.org for more information and to register today, PrayVoteStand.org. All right, there's new research from George Barna and the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University. It is revealing that many perceived notions about evangelicals and their cultural and political influence are simply not matched by the latest data. Sadly, for example, most evangelicals do not possess a biblical worldview. Stunning. Only about a third of them do. The data also strongly suggests that evangelicals are more likely to be shaped by the culture around them than they are to influence or evangelize it. The results that all of this has had on our culture is just absolutely devastating. Joining me now to discuss this and his latest research is George Barna. He's the director of research at Arizona Christian University's Cultural Research Center, and he's a senior research fellow at FRC's Center for Biblical Worldview. He's the author of many, many books, including Raising Spiritual Champions, Nurturing Your Child's Heart, Mind, and Soul. George, always good to see you. Welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks so much. Good to be with you, Jody.
All right, so let's just start with it. Walk us through what many people get wrong about evangelicals and their influence.
Well, first of all, we have this idea that it's a huge group. And that's based on either bad research or journalistic indifference, where the assumption is that somewhere between 25 to 40% of adults in America can be considered to be evangelicals. Now, a lot of that comes from research that relies on people calling themselves evangelicals. Our research tends not to take people at face value with those kinds of labels. What we do is we figure out what the definition is, then ask people the components of the definition and put it together to see how many fit it. That's what we did here. So instead of finding that 25 to 40%, which would be upwards of 100 million people, that's a lot of voters out there. Well, what we find is that 10% of adults actually meet the theological criteria for what makes somebody an evangelical. So that's closer to maybe 25 million people. That's nothing to sneeze at. That's an important group, a potentially influential group, but it's not what we're led to believe. And of course, what happens these days is that this idea of Christian evangelicals is used to build fear in the minds and hearts of the voting public. How? Because journalists will tell people, well, you know, these evangelicals, they're Christian nationalists. They don't want a democracy, they want a theocracy. So there's a lot of, bait and switch that goes on here, both with the data and with the concepts when we're talking about these things. But we've got to also take a deep look at the fact that so many of the people who even qualify as theological evangelicals don't really buy the Bible at face value. Many of their beliefs are not consistent. Now, many are. I'm not saying it's a lost cause or they're bad people. But there's a lot of misinformation in the minds and hearts of people who, even when you define them theologically as evangelicals, they're not buying into what the Bible teaches and they're not living it out.
Wow. Is it fair to say, George, and I think it is, I want to put this out there to you, that basically the study found that many evangelicals perhaps get the big picture of Christianity, but they struggle in the sense of trying to apply those core principles of the Bible to everyday situations. They're too often victims of catchy slogans of feel-good behaviors as promoted by our culture in which we live. And all of that, of course, is propelled by a secular worldview. So how does all this play out in practice? Is that an accurate description?
I think it's a very accurate description, Jody, and it's one of the things that the data supports. And so when we look at what evangelicals do and believe, yeah, they get some of the big picture things that the Bible teaches. And so they'll believe in the biblical notion of God. They will believe that God is the basis of all truth. They'll believe that the purpose of life is to know, love, and serve God with all their heart, mind, strength, and soul. They believe the universe was created by God. They believe in the reality of Jesus Christ, that he lived on earth. They believe that Satan exists. So they get those things. But once you get away from those kind of Sunday school 101 teachings, that's where things get pretty murky. And so when we start talking about the nature of moral truth, when we start talking about the application of moral truth, when we start talking about our responsibility to other people in terms of sharing the gospel, what is the gospel? You know, did Jesus live a sinless life? These are things that don't get talked about quite as much in our churches. And those are the kinds of issues that relate to not only our lives, but also the political issues of the day. When we look at issues such as abortion, transgenderism, and so forth, that's where evangelicals really struggle to make the connection between biblical truth, who am I in America, and what's my influence supposed to be here if I'm trying to honor Christ and advance his kingdom.
So there's a degree of, I want to be a little careful in using this word, but I'm going to use the word theology. There's a degree where their theology comes from the Bible, but taking that theology into the world is a different matter altogether. In fact, within a spiritual realm, the Bible's fine theologically, but you get outside of the church setting, and all of a sudden they're being more influenced by the world, by the news that they watch, by politics or whatever other competing worldviews. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's accurate. And I think, you know, if you want to ask, well, so what are some practical applications or implications of that? We could talk about things like the fact that, shockingly to me, theologically defined evangelicals, that 10% that pretty much gets it theologically, biblically, well, they're not willing to talk to other people who hold different political opinions from them. In fact, of the, I think it was about 80 different segments of the population that we looked at, theological evangelicals were toward the bottom, if not at the bottom of that list of people who were willing to enter into discussions with people who believe differently about than them about political and social issues. Now, that's a far cry from what we always hear about evangelicals, that they're going to be in your face, they're going to be quoting scripture, they're going to be talking about what the Bible teaches. Our data is showing, well, things have changed over the last 40 years. That's not what theological evangelicals are like anymore, if they were that way previously. We even look at voting, and we find that upwards of a third of them, more than a third of them, are not likely to vote currently in this upcoming election. Variety of reasons behind that, but the point is, you know, where we looked at the last two elections, and to take another group that we look at, SageCons, you know, well over 90% of SageCons voted in each of the last two elections. Evangelicals, not close to that number. So we've got issues there. Or even simple things that people may never know about you doing, things like boycotting products or services that support a progressive ideology. Most evangelicals aren't willing to do that. So these are some of the ways where, you know, we look at what is the reality of evangelicalism in America today, far different than the fear-mongering going on in the journalistic realm related to evangelicals, but also perhaps pretty far removed from what many of our pastors and church leaders think is happening with evangelicals. And part of that, frankly, may be because we also found that most evangelicals don't even attend what's usually thought of as being an evangelical church. They attend other kinds of churches.
All right, so you're going down this pathway. So let me ask this. If evangelicals, professing evangelicals, so many of them really don't have a biblical worldview, and they are not being salt and light in their communities, their world, they're not evangelizing. Did your study in any way determine what kind of impact that is having on our current culture and society?
Well, yeah, I mean, it goes back again to the fact that the media now have become the evangelists of America. Rather than disciples of Jesus in that evangelical movement, going out and doing everything they can to share the love and the saving grace of Jesus with lost sinners, what's happening is evangelicals frequently are taking their cues from the media, but so is everybody else, because there's now an evangelistic vacuum in American society. Listen, if the followers of Jesus aren't willing to go out and talk about him, who's going to do it? Pastors tend not to do it as much as they used to from the pulpit. Now we've got the believers themselves not doing it. We know, sure as Sunday, that, you know, journalists aren't going to be the ones who are professing the gospel to America. So we've got some major issues that we've got to address. And maybe the best place to start is within our families. Are parents doing everything they can and should be doing to raise their children up to be spiritual champions, to hear the gospel, to know the gospel, to embrace the gospel, to live the gospel, to share the gospel? That's our job as parents and grandparents. Churches can support us in doing that, but it's got to start in the home.
Well, I tell you, it's indescribably frightening to think that the media has become the new evangelists in America. Where that ultimately takes us is a horrifying thought. You mentioned a little while ago, George, about SageCons. Now, there may be some of our viewers listening right and on board with us right now who may not be familiar with that term, spiritually active, governance engaged. Talk about the SageCons. Who are these people in relation to the definition of evangelicals that we're talking about? What's the difference? Who are the SageCons?
Well, SageCons are different than evangelicals in that they are very upfront about believing that because they are so fully committed to following Jesus and to doing what he's called us to do and to become the kind of people he's called us to be, They believe that they should take their faith into every dimension of our culture. And so they vote at much higher rates than other people. They talk about issues with other people. They study the issues much more deeply. One of the things that came out of the research is theologically defined evangelicals are no different than anybody else in our culture when it comes to watching the news and current events related to politics and government. Sage Con's totally different. They're on it every day. They understand the issues, the actors, the nuances. They get all of that, and they believe they need to be deeply involved in all of that. So that's
Let me ask while you're going here, George, are they looking at the news and current events and so from a biblical perspective, or are they just engaged more?
Both. What we know is that Sage Cons read the Bible consistently, and they try to apply the Bible to today's issues, to current events, to what political leaders are saying and doing. To them, that's vitally important because they know today's political leaders are major shapers of our culture. They have a dramatic level of influence on people's minds and hearts and souls, whether we want that to be the case or not. And so they're following that. They're tracking that. They want to influence that with biblical truth. Biblical truth is vitally important to Sage Cons. And when they vote, that's what they're concerned about, is how can we get biblical perspectives better represented in our public policies, in our laws, in our public institutions that we fund. So all of those kinds of things tend to distinguish Sage Cons from other groups of people, even evangelicals.
So is this the 10 million or so that you were talking about, the evangelical, they say between 20 and 40%? You said it's much less than that when you use a more biblical understanding of evangelical. And you said somewhere in the ballpark of 10 million. Are those 10 million what we're looking at, more or less, being Sage Cons?
Yeah, Sage Cons represent about 8% of the voting public. They are voting age public. That represents in our culture close to 20 million individuals. Evangelicals at 10% would represent close to 25 million individuals or so, but there's not a one-to-one overlap. That probably used to be the case 30, 40 years ago when I started doing all these kinds of measurements. There was a much deeper overlap between evangelicals and Sage Cons, but now there's a growing distinction between those two groups. And frankly, a lot of it is because theologically, evangelicals are not buying everything that the Bible has to sell. They're not willing to represent the kingdom of Christ with power and authority and confidence and consistency in the way that they used to.
So we've got less than a minute. What's the greatest need for the Christian community in America today?
Hey, sit back and take a deep and intense and realistic look at your own faith. In the scriptures, six times Jesus identified what it takes to be a disciple of his. You know, so he talked about obeying biblical principles. He talked about loving other disciples. He talked about producing spiritual fruit. He talked about loving God far beyond anything else in your life.
We're winding down, George.
I know.
I hate to cut you off, but we are, time has run out. George Barna, awesome, as always, to talk to you. Thank you for your leadership on this incredibly critical topic. All right, folks, thanks for joining us on Washington Watch. We'll see you next time.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.